I am left with all this love and all these dreams and no place to put them.
Everyone, this is Carly from Daytime After Dark. Today, I usually have my show at night, so that's why I said at night. But this afternoon, we are going to be talking to the wonderful Mark Tesnew. And what he does, people, is the casting director for Zenner Hospital, also Post Hours, Ryan's Hope, and Carpool Guy, and many more in the movie Almost Goodbye. So, let's start now and let's have some fun, guys. Hi.
Hi, Carly. How are you?
I'm good. Having that one day off, Monday, all day I was thinking today was Tuesday, not Wednesday. It was kind of funny.
These 4-day weeks can be confusing for sure.
Yeah, and so, you know, you are awesome,
well, thank you.
Awesome casting director. And the fans know, how did you get started in this with the whole casting directing thing?
Sure. Well, I've been a casting director for 33 years. And I've been with General Hospital for 26 and a half of them. And it's by far the most fun job I've ever had. I started as an actor in New York in the early 80s, and I did that for a few years and realized it wasn't for me. And I fell into casting, and it was the best accident I could have had, because from day one, I knew I had found my calling. And I just love the process of casting and coming up with ideas for roles and auditioning actors and making choices and finding new talent and bringing established talent to the show. It's really a mosaic that we're putting together on the show.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I always look at your job as one of the most difficult jobs in soap. And you guys get overlooked all the time because you have to, day in and day out, bring the talent, but not only the talent, if you have to do a recast of, someone, it's really hard sometimes for you guys to do that, right? Or is it really easy?
Casting isn't easy. It's fantastic, and it's fun, and it's enervating, but I wouldn't say it's easy because so much goes into finding the perfect person for that one role. You know, for series regulars, I audition anywhere from 800 to 200 actors for one role. So finding that right person, the combination of talent, charisma, presence, it's never easy. You know, it's finding lightning in a bottle. And recasting, which you referred to, is by far the hardest thing, because what you're doing is a recast happens when a popular actor chooses to leave, which is their prerogative. And so you're looking for an actor that captures the essence of the character that's been established, but you're not looking for a clone. You're not looking for a carbon copy. You're also looking for somebody who's interesting and talented enough to take the role in a new direction, their direction.
Well, yeah. I mean, you do such a great job with that because for instance, when Lola White, I love Lola White. I have followed her, the guiding light, everything.
Right.
I love her. The moment I heard that Lola White was taking the job as Carly, I'm like, thank you, Lola. Someone's been hearing me for the last few. I said it for like a year before you did anything about it. And, you know, I think you did such a great job with that one because,
I can't take credit for that. Laura was the person the powers that be went after. We had had so many wonderful actresses playing Carly, you know, Sarah Brown, Tamara Braun, and they were both real finds. They were both unknown. We discovered them, and they were indelible in the role. But by the time they had left, the character was at a place where we felt like we needed to bring in an established actor that we knew could hit the ground running, and Laura was the person that it was offered to. There was no process other than pursuing Laura, and fortunately the timing was right, and she was willing to take a leap of faith and move out to Los Angeles.
Oh, well, yeah, and, you know, I have interviewed her a couple of times, and like I always tell her, because she knows, you know, she's my favorite actress. I mean, I know I'm not supposed to play favorites when you're a radio host, but that kind of went out the window with Laura White and Monique Bernard and Ian Buchanan. This is a couple. And I was thinking, there is no way. I mean, you know, I thought there was no way you could never recast Jason on Zeno Hospital. I thought, okay, there's no way. There's no way we can do this one. You know, they're back up. You know, their back is against the wall on this one. There's, you know, the fans might not be able to accept it because Steve Burton was there for over 20 years. And
that's
then
right.
When you brought Billy Miller in, again, I thought you guys were perfect because it was perfect casting once again.
You needed to replace Steve Burton, who, after 20 years, had really left his stamp on the role. You needed somebody with stature and magnitude that could come in not only as a complex actor, but has the right presence. And Billy was the guy. That's credited to Frank Valentini, who went right after him. Again, we went right after Billy. So the process of recasting that role, as well as Carly with Laura Wright, was a much more streamlined process than we're looking for a new actor, and I'm reading literally hundreds and hundreds of actors to try to find that recast. So that went quickly, and fortunately we got the right guy. And it's the hardest thing, in my opinion, it's the hardest thing I have to do here, recasting a role. Because you're usually recasting a popular actor that is moving on. But it comes with the territory, and if we want to tell stories, and you can't stop telling story just because an actor decides to leave. The ship has sailed. The stories are laid out well in advance, and it affects many characters. So recast is a necessary and crucial part of what I do.
Well, yeah, and because when I look at the recast, and I always tell my audience, you know, some days, people, like, for the second, third day, they don't want to give people a chance. And I have, like, this three-month rule with myself, give them some time. They just got into this world that was someone else's, and they are trying to make it their own. And so for me, you know, I kind of yell. Okay, I don't yell at people, but I tell people, calm down, and let's see what happens.
I like your three-month rule because it is true. It's jarring initially for an audience to see a new actor in a role that they've loved an actor in for 3, 4, 5 years. But I agree with you. You know, they're a recast for a reason. We saw something in them. And I think there has to be a trust factor that, you know, we want the best person too. And I think after 3 months, they can certainly it allows the new actor to put their stamp on the role and give a sense of where they're going with it. I like that rule, Carly.
Well, yeah, because, I've been watching soaps since I was, like, 8, you know, and I know everyone's like, that's too young. No, it wasn't. I didn't want to watch cartoons. I wasn't the kid that watched cartoons. I wanted to see what was happening with Luke and Laura and
wonderful.
All of it. And, yeah,
that's
and,
wonderful.
You know, because of you, I mean, I'm not blaming you on the whole, but because of you guys, you know, if there was a TiVo back then, I would have never missed half of I always skip class for Zeno Hospital in high school all the time. And I know that it sounds so bad, but it was back in the 90s where there was, you know, VCRs, but there was no TiVo. And if you put a tape in, because I could never figure out how to do the you know, set the VCR to the right time. So for me, it was like, okay, I guess I'm going to have to call out sick again. And
right,
my brother, my brother, the hero, you know, knew how much crazy I am. If I miss days or days, so, you know, why and all, I'm like in a bad mood. And so, yeah, he would froze the notes, and
mm-hmm.
I would just have to pay him $5 per note.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, you know, that the
yeah,
whole
and then,
DVR,
yeah,
and now everybody
yeah.
can watch it, and you can binge watch, and it's a lot easier. I know what you're talking about. I know that when I was offered the job of casting the show in 1989, I was living in New York, and I had, you know, about a month before heading on out, and it was the time of the VCR, and I remember recording episodes to try to watch the show and really get caught up and up to speed, and it was, you know, it's very cumbersome watching VHS tapes. So definitely the DVR has changed, first of all, our viewership and basically viewership across the board. You know, now people have to factor in DVR viewing because that's how many people watch shows now. I know that I never watch prime time in real time. I always watch whatever shows I watch on a DVR.
Well, yeah, I have my TiVo, and I always, you know, my TiVo can never leave me. And, you know, I had to upgrade to the, you know, the full, we call it full things at once.
Mm-hmm.
And then because for a while, when Days of Our Life in General Hospital, God here in Seattle at the same time, I was messed up. I'm like, no. So I had to upgrade. So General
now
Hospital.
Now you can watch both. Thank God.
Well, yeah, and General Hospital was the reason I did it. And, you know, yeah, I look at that because I look at today's kids and whatever. Yeah, you know, and I've been doing a lot of been watching myself because, you know, you just want to watch a couple of episodes at a time. And, you know, yes, I love Friday cliffhangers. I do. But when it's a really, really cliffhanger Friday, I'm like, okay, I'm not watching you until Sunday. Because I don't want to, I need to figure out where they are going to go by Monday. But so I used to, you know, play over in my head. But Saturday, so that's why I do it that way. And also, what did you think of the waiting? I mean, I know you're a casting director, but with the waiting for the DVR and the
You know, I don't know how they're computed. I just know that, you know, a large part of viewership watches on DVR, so I'm not sure how they're factored in. That's an area that I don't get my hands in that area. I have one job, mine.
Well, yeah, but yeah, I was
but
just
I,
curious.
So I, you know, I mean, I'm not really sure how they're I'm not sure how it's computed, you know, in that sense.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, I mean, and, you know, it's so funny because they always say, oh, YNL for the past 27 years, you know, number one, which I never buy because everyone always calls up Michael and wants to talk about General Hospital come Friday night. Everyone wants to talk about what's going on their old days, OB&B, oh, YNL. But for Michael, it's always been General Hospital with a lot of people because that was the show I think the grandmother passed on to every generation, and that General Hospital and Days of Our Life was like that.
Right. Well, you know, I think all the shows, and ours included, as you can see from your fans' interest and yours, have very passionate fan bases that support show. And you know, I noticed when I got here, just in 1989, a very powerful fan base for General Hospital. I had never seen anything like it. I had come from 4 years of casting Loving, which was a wonderful show, but it didn't have the intense passion that the fans have for General Hospital. That was one of the first things I noticed when I got out here. And, you know, you're right. The fans are very vocal. They're passionate. They let their voice be heard. And thank God for the fans. We, you know, I have no illusion.
Yeah,
that,
and, you know, because, you know, when Anthony Geary left General Hospital, and I'm still not over it. I don't think I will ever be over that one. And I'm not over Duke dying because I'm pro-mob. Everyone knows I love a great shootout. Everyone knows when it's Sonny versus Zillion, hands down, I'm with my boy Sonny because, you know, he doesn't kill people for a living. If someone ticks him off, then he will go after him. It's not like Zillion. And I think there is a great divide, like you said, with this Zeno Hospital and all their fan bases, because now that Twitter, Facebook are there, and 20 years ago, all we had to do was either call you guys or, you know, wire low, which would take 4 weeks or 5 weeks, sometimes for people to get answered. So I'm glad there's social media, media with all the shows, because I think that was a saving grace for you guys, having all that.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, which is, for example, you love the mob. There are viewers that don't. You know, you can't please everybody, but
exactly.
You have to take the – but, you know, and that passion and that discussion – keeps the show relevant, and it means the fans are talking about it, whether they're disagreeing on story. But we're here to entertain and also have some social value depending on the storyline. And, you know, we take people on a journey, and we tell so many stories that not every story is going to be popular and not every storyline itself is. But, you know, we're here to challenge the audience and really entertain. And
well,
I tell you,
yeah,
you know, you said earlier that I have a hard job. I think the writers have a very hard job. They have to write 250 hours of television for 30, 40, 50 actors on the show, and complicated.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at the quality and just how nuanced the writing is.
Well, yeah, and it's so, I mean, Zeno Hospital has always had good writing and everything, but I guess I have a little bone to pick with you, because I'm not mad at you. I was mad at you a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, because everyone flooded my email and Twitter about recasting the little boy Zeke. And I heard it from everywhere. I turned around and I'm like, okay, give them a break. But, you know, for that, when it comes to the kid actors, you know, they are so good. And, yes, they only can work a limited time when they are on, you know, the show. But, Mark, I'm just saying this for my own personal reference. If you ever recast Spencer, Nicholas, I will be brokenhearted. Just so you know,
you're not the first person that has said that to me, and there certainly are absolutely no intentions to do that. We love Nicholas Bechtel. We love him, and he can handle
mm-hmm.
anything we deliver. You know, we've had to do some scheduling things because he is on another show. A Disney show. So we juggle the schedule and we make it work. And, you know, without getting into specifics, the boy we cast as Jake is a very gifted, talented actor who
mm-hmm.
is capable
mm-hmm.
of handling a lot of complex story depending on what we throw at him. So, you know, we make decisions that are based on what's going to take the character in the direction we need to go. The goal is to not recast. It's just sometimes, of course, we do.
Well, and you know, I mean, for a while they were not putting the kids, the little kids front and center, and I got mad about that because I guess a lot of people wrote in and said, come on, this is for grown-ups, you know, the kids should not take a front seat. And I'm sorry, I have to disagree with them because they are the next generation that is going to carry everyone through their next generation of acting. And
well,
so,
but that's
so
a prime example of what we talked about earlier, which is you feel a certain way and some of your viewers don't, and that's what makes conversation and keeps people interested and focused. And again, with telling as many stories as we do, you're never going to make everybody happy. And there's no way to write a story that's going to make everybody happy. So we just do the best to be creative.
Well, exactly. And that's, you know, and everyone loved Brooklyn as Emma. Emma and Spencer, the two I keep hearing over and over every day, they better not mess with them. And I'm like, you guys, calm down. I don't think they will ever because they are so talented. But, you know,
and they're beloved kids. They're wonderful kids. And, you know, they're capable of playing anything that's been given to them and written. And, you know, sometimes they'll be busy and sometimes they won't be, just like many characters that where stories have to be juggled.
Well, exactly. And when, you know, I mean, I get that because, you know, I read so much and, you know, I know there are, in California, there's laws that, you know, the kids cannot work so many hours. And I have to remind people, hey, calm down. Calm down if we don't see the kids with the parents 24/7, because that's all I hear sometimes. I can't believe so-and-so is not with their mom or dad. I'm like, they can be. Legally, they can be. And that's a very hard thing on you guys, probably, you know, frustrated. You know, you hear all this, and, you know, there's nothing you guys can do about it, but it just kind of makes me laugh how vocal people are in the last 2 years. I've been doing this since 2009, and I've seen everything. I thought, you know, I wasn't going to see everything, but yeah, Twitter and Facebook, you see everything, you know, from everyone agreeing to disagree and everything like that. And, that's what I was going to ask. You did one of my favorite movies of all time. I mean, you didn't do it, but you casted Carpool with Corbin and everyone.
Oh,
Carpool.
That was Carpool Guy. That was a fun movie. Corbin did a beautiful job with that. Corbin did a beautiful job, and he had a great idea, and he populated the show with daytime stars, and then the supporting roles with just good actors. That was really fun to work with him on, and it was very clever. And to, you know, he was on General Hospital at the time, and he came up and said, "Hey, I got this script. Can we work on this together?" And I read it, and I'm like, "Corbin, I'm in." And you know, I like his model where he marketed to the fans of daytime and he populated it with actors that you got to see in a different light, you know, doing roles that were very different than what they were known for. And that was the incentive for the actors to do the show, to do the film, to show a different side of them that the audience might not expect to see.
Well, and, you know, I was little when you did Loving, you know.
I did Loving for 4.5 years.
You know, I always went, you know, that show was really good. But, you know, I mean, when that got canceled, I'm like, that's never been canceled in my mind. But really what's never been canceled in my mind was Post-Solos. Because they had a good thing going over there with, you know, their own storyline. But I always kind of laughed because, you know, they had the vampire thing. And then, you know, then in a hospital, no one's, like, walking around with a vampire thing. But, you know, they were in the same town. So that was one thing I always kind of laugh about because, you know, it's you know, interesting, I think. What did you take from Post-Solos and Night Shift? And Loving, I mean, because, you know, you did all three
I loved working on them all. I really enjoyed Night Shift and Port Charles. Port Charles was fun because the idea was brilliant. a spin-off of General Hospital, basically with the interns in the hospital. And what was great about it,
mm-hmm,
it was like basically
mm-hmm.
it was Grey's Anatomy before there was Grey's Anatomy. And what was really
exactly.
fun was creating, it was really fun to create an ensemble of actors, many of them new, and really tell the stories. You know, by the way, interesting thing, we had 8 interns on the show. I auditioned 1,750 actors in New York, LA, and Chicago. We went all over, I went all over the place to find the actors. And so I was really proud of that, you know, the company. And as far as the vampires and the supernatural, you know, Port Charles was ratings challenged, and I think
mm-hmm.
the decision
mm-hmm.
was made. Again, I don't make the decision, but I applaud the bravado of it, which was, you know, we need to do something different, something that's not been done, to shake it up. And that was also, they did that in conjunction with like a format of like 13 weeks and telling
mm-hmm.
stories
mm-hmm.
with beginning, middles, and end. And again, ultimately the show went 6 years, and you know, yeah, it was pushing the envelope, the Port Charles supernatural vampire. But, you know, I think it was done for, in an effort to kind of shake up the viewers and maybe attract some new ones. So there were some really actually wonderful storylines and wonderful performances. Ultimately, it didn't attract enough viewers to stay on the air. But I applaud the willingness to go 360 degrees in a different direction.
Well, yeah,
I did too,
because it was this one of the greatest, you know, yeah, it worked, and it worked well, and, you know, I loved it, and I mean, and Night Shift, everyone loved Night Shift, I loved
Night Shift. You know, I thought that was a great idea, 13 episodes, one a week. You know, basically, again, I'm not trying to compare it to Grey's Anatomy, but you're in the hospital, and each week there was a medical case to deal with, one or two, but still telling stories about the interaction with the doctors. And I thought it was a wonderful formula, and I loved it. It was really, that was really fun to work on.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I mean, like, you know, that, I mean, I loved Night Shift. Because, you know, you brought Luke and Anna and all of them who haven't been in the same room in like 15 years, Sean and Tiffany and all that. That's what I think the viewers feel in love with Night Shift, because, you know, they were finally seeing Robert, Anna, and all that. And I just thought it was a really good spin-off, and yeah. I wish it wasn't for longer, but, you know, I get it. It kind of ran its course.
Yeah, I'm proud of that show. But it just shows you, it really does show you, though, how difficult it is to do spinoffs and launch new shows and get traction. And it's, you know, it's a different environment. And it's changed a lot. And it just shows, you know, it's hard to get eyeballs in this universe where everybody has a lot of options. And I'm just, you know, I'm grateful that General Hospital, as well as the other three remaining soaps, have passionate fans and a passionate fan base, and that we all get the eyeballs that we need.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I mean, yeah, and, you know, one thing I've always wanted to ask the casting director, that would be you, you know, when Dawn Inger left on the show for like a year or two, and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, he went over to Dave, and you guys got, you know, Zed Allen.
Right.
Do you feel like, I mean, because a lot of the viewers, you know, even tell me today, that for them, you know, they could not buy the fact that Zed Allen was, you know, the same age as Dawn Inger. And,
listen,
you know,
I totally understand. Jed's a wonderful actor, but I know that the audience, it was very, a very different, you know, way to go. And so I understand where you're going with that. And then John came back and you know, finished his storyline beautifully. And he brought such grace to the role, and he's beloved.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, him and Lila, you know. You know, and I mean, yeah, I know there was another Edward before him, but for our generation, it was John Ingo that really won the role of
And there was
Edward
the other
Kunderman.
Actor was David. By the way, the other actor was David Lewis, and he's a wonderful actor, and he put his mark on the role. And again, that's a role where people thought, well, how are you going to recast that? And John Engel was available, and a beautiful recast existed. So that's a great example. We're talking about recasts of they go on, and they have to go on, and we were able to tell a beautiful story with John.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you guys grew, and you know, this, you know, I look at the casting a lot because I get bored and I want to see what, you know, what's happening with the casting. But when you casted Spencer, Nicholas as Spencer, that was the most perfect casting you could have ever done, Mark. Well, the reason why I'm saying because, you know, Nicholas had the hair of, you know, his dad, Nicholas, but also the hair like Sonny. And I always think that's a great way to do it because I love it that him and Sonny have the same, you know, hair color, and I love it. And that is just so perfect casting of
well,
how
you, know,
you did that one.
Nicholas Bechtel is one of the most amazing kids I've ever met, not just in terms of his acting, but his charisma, his presence.
Mm-hmm.
He's magic. And he's very popular, and I thank God that he walked in the room, and I was like, oh, man, this is it. This is the answer to my prayers. And, you know, sometimes it's the luck of the draw. You have to have that right kid, and that's why we see a lot of kids. That's why we audition a lot of actors.
Yeah.
You're looking for that. You're looking for the magic to walk in the room, and in his case, couldn't bottle it.
Well, I mean, yeah, and it, you know, it was, you know, it's great casting. And did you ever, like, when you have to recast someone that's been on there, like, a long time, like Steve Burton and
mm-hmm.
all that, did you ever think, oh, my God, oh, my goodness, there's no way I can do this one? There's,
no,
there been,
you can't,
like,
you,
late
you, as
at
a
night,
casting director. No, you can't think that way as a casting director. You know, I may think, boy, this is going to be challenging, or, oh, boy, this is a tough one. But never do I think we can't do it, because I have to do it, and we have to choose
well,
somebody
yeah,
and the
yeah.
story. So you can't even have in your mind it's impossible. What we have to do is make the impossible possible.
Well, exactly. And, you know, yeah, and that's why you know, that's what I really love and about you, Zal, because, you know, you do such a terrific job of
well,
it.
You're very
I don't
sweet.
Think,
thank you.
You know, no, I think you get overlooked all the time. I mean, I see your little name on the credits, and I'm really being funny at times. I'm like, why can't he just have his big name on the credit, like big, big, big?
Well, you're very sweet. It doesn't work that way, but I do have to tell you that, you know, I do feel acknowledged. I feel that there is an appreciation for casting, and I know that I feel the acknowledgement from the fans, and more importantly, I feel it from the people that hire me and that I work with. And, you know, I feel the love, and I think casting has become a very and necessarily respected profession. So even though my name is not as big as General Hospital on the show, I definitely
I
feel acknowledgement and supported for sure.
Well, yeah, and, you know, because, I mean, you guys are working, you know, are you guys working when, like, you guys go dark? I love saying when you guys go dark. But when you guys
we're
go dark,
dark this yes, we work through the dark. In other words, we're dark for the next few weeks, but I am in because I have scripts coming in, and every day a couple of new scripts come in, and there's always parts to cast, you know, day players, recurring roles. So
mm-hmm.
this gives me a chance to get ahead of the curve, read the scripts, and come up with ideas so that we can hit the ground running when everybody comes back. But yeah, I'm in this week, and it's, you know, not many people are.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's the summertime. So, you know, I'm sure the actors and actress, you know, want to have a little time off with their kids because, you know, during the fall, and, you know, their kids are, you know, in school. So I think it's a genius to, you know, have a couple of weeks, you know, to go dark and, you know.
Right.
And I am still upset about the Olympics, because the Olympics is on NBC. And
right.
I'm going to make
Capable right.
Life for 3 weeks.
That's
three
correct. You
weeks.
Are. And that's the norm every year. Every 4 years, not
well,
every year.
Yeah, every 4 years. And so when, you know, you have it kind of quiet this week, but not really quiet. What time did you start your day? I mean, did you start early or late? Or...
My day is usually 8:30 in the morning to 9:00 I start. I work through lunch. You know, I'll eat at my desk, but I don't like to really take a break. And then I'll go to 5 or 6, depending on, you know, on how many auditions I'm having or what I'm doing. And then, you know, my day doesn't really end when I'm not here, because every time I'm watching a television show, because I love watching television, the quality is great, I'm looking at actors that I can use on the show. And so I might watch a show and then the following week hire an actor that I saw on the show. I remember there was one time when I hired 3 actors I had seen in an episode of Parenthood over the course of a month that were wonderful. So I'm still technically not working when I leave here, but as a casting directors are always working, because when we're watching something, we are making mental notes and sometimes physical notes so we can remember actors that we like.
Well, yeah, and I think that is a really good idea, because of the fact that you need to. Yeah, you go home and watch something. And, okay, they do not put me up to this, but what I'm going to ask you, okay, I have a friend who's J. Eddie Peck. He's been on All My Children.
I know him.
Okay, well, he's a really good friend of mine. He's been great to the show. He, you know, he does anything I need with... You know, I love him so much for this. And I was going to tell him today, I go, okay, fine, I am telling Mark about you, and I want you to be on the board of Zeno Hospital. And he goes, okay, go for it. So I'm going for it with you right now, because I miss my little Zayety Peck in daytime. And, okay, I mean, and it's not really for the views, Mark, why not? It's just for me, because...
Right.
You know, I mean, he's one of the people I miss seeing in daytime. And, you know, and I mean, I give a little credit to A. Martinez going to date, because I was so vocal about it. I'm like, come on, this A needs to be hired. So now, you know, now that he has a job on dates, so now I have to concentrate on Zayety.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a lovely plug and very well played.
Well, yes. Well, I've been thinking about that all week. And but you know, it's not a good idea to sit at your desk for lunch. I mean, come on, you're in California. You could go outside and eat for a while or do that. Or do you just like to be at your desk?
Well, you know what? I get a little sunlight when I go to the commissary, and I have beautiful weekends here and beautiful nights when we get out. And you don't have to worry about me, Carly. I'm still doing yoga 3 days a week, so I'm taking care of myself and I'm experiencing beautiful California. It's just that when I'm at the office, like anybody that is in a very pressured job, once you're in, it's sort of you fasten your seatbelts and you just keep going. So I'm not complaining. I love what I do, and I don't mind that I don't go out for lunch too often. That's a small price to pay for anybody, for doing what you love and what makes you happy. And this show and casting this show is a dream job, and it makes me incredibly happy. And I'm just glad that you're happy and that people respond to the work. That's really the icing on the cake.
And, you know, for you guys, is it true about the commissary? Is anything they want in the commissary? like, is there, like, anything that actors or you guys want? Does it ever, like, get delivered from, like, New York or anything?
No. The commissary, it's a lovely commissary, but they have set items there. So, no, it's sort of you go off their menu, and sometimes they have wonderful specials. But, no, no one's flying in food for eccentric requests or anything. It's a very working... You know, it's down to basics.
Well,
we just, you know.
Well, because I heard on Sex and the City and Law and Order SUV, they were doing that. And I thought, that is awesome.
Honestly, I don't know what's true, what's not true. They probably have very large budgets and different things. And also, they all have much smaller casts. We have a huge 30, 40 people cast. So
exactly.
It's a very different dynamic.
Well,
very
okay, this is a real question. I'm not meaning you to put you on the spot, but you know what? I'm coming in Fan Club again, not this year, but next year. How do I get this to see if I could get a set to of Zeno Hospital, because, you know, Nathan, you know, I want to visit you guys on this. I mean, I want to go to Zeno Hospital and see everything. I've been on Y&R.
You know what, Carly? I have no idea. You're not putting me on the spot, because I have no idea.
Okay, I mean, I can talk to Nathan about that, because, you know, I mean, it's like a dream of mine, seeing real Zeno Hospital, everything is, because I went on Young and Restless set a couple of years ago, and, you know, I fell in love with the set, and I kept saying, oh, that's the room, and, you know, yes, I wanted to, you know, I just love looking at the, you know, the sets day in and day out, because, you know, you guys gotta do, like, a lot of, you know, scenes of the rooms, and, you know, take down stuff, and, you know, that's another, you know, unforgiving thought that people, you know, say because, you know, it's, you're taking down things a couple of days a week, and, I know you're not doing that, but can you tell me is that a lot of work when they take,
it's a lot of work. You know, you've got your set designers, then you have the shop that builds the sets, then you have the crew that puts the sets up. When the show is done taping at the end of the day, whether it's 7, 8 o'clock, you have a night crew coming in and taking down the sets to make room for the sets that go up the next day. It's a real machine. You also have the lighting guys coming in and lighting the show. It's around the clock around here, because every piece is so crucial and so important, for sure.
Well, yeah, and, you know, and my favorite place in all of, you know, PC is either Kelly's Ruby Diner, Kelly, you know, Ruby Diner, and also Sunny and Carly's house. I want Sunny and Carly's house. I want that house so bad. I mean, I love the setup.
Well, you'll
I
have to have
everything.
Somebody design that for you in real life.
Well, yes, believe me, I'm okay on that. And so what do you do when, like, okay, so, you know, your mom and dad probably love what you do, but does your mom or grandma ever call you up and say, so, what's going on there? And, I mean, do they watch the show because, you know,
they watch it once in a while. No, they watch it once in a while, but not enough to call me about characters or storylines. So I don't get any of that from my family. They lay off. So it's kind of nice not to have any more opinions come from my family.
Well, yeah, because that would be really difficult to do. You know, and that will probably drive you a little crazy. And
that's a funny,
you know,
question.
Which,
yeah.
I think,
yeah.
And, you know, and everyone, you know, one of my fans asked me, I mean, tell you that when you we casted Dylan and you put Palmer in, that was another great casting. Everyone is in love with him. I'm in love with him.
I'm glad. I saw hundreds. You know, I saw hundreds and we saw hundreds and hundreds of guys. We tested a lot of guys, and he kind of went to the head of the pack. He's a lovely actor, and I'll tell you something else. He's a lovely man. Very kind.
Oh yeah. I adore him. But do you? I mean, yeah. And then you know when you brought Dr. Owen, let me tell you, that was one of the genius casting. Casting Gotti is amazing no matter what. You know, I tell her all the time, you know, just put a paper bag over you, or just put a paper bag with anyone, and because she can act even like if there was just a paper bag right there. And I think that is so awesome.
Yeah.
And my couple last question.
Okay, fire away.
So, you know, you did theater. I mean, you did the, you know, camping with Harry, the Tom, the 24th, many thousand gone. You did that. And did you do theater Traxon?
No.
Okay, well, it says on you,
I don't know where you got that. And what would, I've not seen Fatal Attraction on my, and what was the first thing you mentioned before that?
It was the reason of theater, camping with Henry and Tom.
Well, that was a play. I did that play. I didn't do the New York production. I did the Pasadena Playhouse production.
Oh, well, I think that, you know,
it's a wonderful
I mean,
play.
That, you know, yeah, and that is really cool, you know, to do. And, you know, with the aids of, you know, TiVos and everything, like
right.
when you're home at night, do you want to just fall, you know, on your bed or couch and watch it, you know, through DVR and TiVos? Or do you like the whole thing watching it online?
I've watched shows online. I like to watch it on my television screen, but I've started more and more to watch stuff if I'm running around online, and I know that that's becoming a very popular thing. And again, even those numbers start to get computed in. I think television is going to be watched on a lot of different levels, whether it's, you know, your tablet, your phone,
mm-hmm.
on the television. My feeling is as long as people are watching it, I don't care where they watch it.
Well, yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, we all know that General Hospital is in California. So what was it like for you?
Loving was
Lions
New York.
Help with that in New York.
Yes.
So what
I only
was
did
it? I mean,
just to be Carly. Just to clarify, I only did three roles for Ryan's Hope. They had a longtime casting director there. I was brought in to help on a few roles. So Ryan's Hope, I can't say I cast the show. I worked on
mm-hmm.
three roles, but from Ryan's Hope, I got Loving, which led to a 4.5-year run, which then led to General Hospital. So you could say that even though I worked on three roles for Ryan's Hope, it was my connection to ABC Daytime and kind of launched my career in daytime. So I'll always be thankful to that show.
I mean, because, yeah, and I mean, they were out of New York, and General Hospital is, in California. What is it, I mean, for you, do you like the East Coast better than the West Coast, or you pick the...
You know, I was born in New York City, and it's the greatest city in the world, and I love it. But honestly, I've lived here so much of my life. I've lived in Los Angeles longer than I lived in New York City. The West Coast is my home, and honestly, I love living here. I love going back to visit New York, but I really love Los Angeles. I love the climate, and so, you know... I visit New York. It's still the greatest city in the world, but this is my place right now. This is my place.
Well, yeah, and I think that's, you know, really good. Yeah, I love New York. I've been there one time, and a year after 9/11, actually, we were flying, like, the one-year anniversary of 9/11. That's, you know, we came in that week, and I fell in love with New York, and I'm like, okay. Maybe I should go to New York, but then, you know, I found out how expensive New York is. And then, so
very
I thought, okay, San
City.
Well, yeah, and then I'm like thinking, okay, San Francisco. And then I found out that's expensive. So, you know, because I just love, you know, I love San Francisco and I love Napa Valley. Yeah, I could live in Napa Valley and be happy with it. But, you know, I mean, I know how you feel because, you know, I moved from Oregon and Seattle when I was 10 or 11. So, you know, I've lived here for most of my life, and it's, you know, weird to say that because I love Oregon, but, you know, it was, you know, it was really terrific to do that. And, oh, yeah, I do have one more question about Carpool Guy. So when you did that, were you the one that was doing all the casting? Were you thinking of, oh, is this one from Data, you know, Zeno?
Corbin, to Corbin's credit, for those roles, he knew who we wanted for the lead roles from which soap and which actor. So I came in and worked with him on doing all the non-soap actor roles because he handpicked those actors.
Well, if you ever talk to Corbin, Tim,
I haven't seen him in a long time. But if I bump into him, which I occasionally do, I'm going to tell him that.
Well, yeah,
rest
because,
assured, Carly.
You know,
rest assured.
I mean, when you have Anthony Geary and my, you know, I call him my TV husband, Christoph Saint John. I call him my TV husband. I know, crazy, but,
that's
you know.
Funny.
Well, yeah, and he didn't know about that until, like, about a month ago, my best friend. We had him on air for my birthday, so. And my best friend just happened to mention that. And when we get off, I'm like, I'm going to kill you now. And she goes, why? And then he let me know. He goes, I love that. No one has ever said that to me before. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, but so have you ever did any prime time casting, you know, with prime time shows or no?
Not really. I've done a few pilots, but no actual series. You know, I've spent so much of my career here with the show.
Well, yeah, and, you know, and I think that is really good because, you know, we want to keep you in daytime. And when I found out that Grey's Anatomy and Zeno Hospital were right next door to each other, I think you should cast some of the Grey's Anatomy people over at Zeno Hospital and do like a whole assistant room with
It's a lovely idea, but it's complicated to do. They have their show. We did have, you know, Chandra Wilson come on the show for a day, and that was fantastic, but I don't think we'll be able to pull actors from the show onto the show.
Oh.
She's a fan of the show.
Oh, I know.
So
she
we were able to get her.
Yeah, I know. She always, whenever she goes on The View or whatever, she goes, well, I cannot miss my stories. And I think that's so cute because none of us want to miss it. And, you know, one thing I think everyone has said, you know, you do a great job every year casting the little extras for the Nurses Ball, you know, because that's a production in itself.
Oh, boy.
Do you like that part? Because come Nurses Ball, you know, it's like a 3-day, I love it, 3-day of...
Well, the audience
know.
Sees the 3 or 4 days. We have the weeks of preparation and finding the dancers and all of that. And it's a lot of work, but boy, is it fun. It's like putting on a Broadway show in like a week. It's really fun. A lot of work,
well,
and we're all exhausted afterwards, but it sure is worth it.
Well, yeah, and I mean, this year was so good, and I mean, I love it, and you know, I hope you guys, you know, do every year. And I know. It gets really expensive to do. And I always explain that to my fans. Like, they get, you know, they only can do Nurses Ball like once a year because people love seeing the characters outside of themselves, like singing or dancing.
Right.
And I've always wanted Amani Spinal to get up and sing or whatever.
I don't think you're going to see that. You can wish that. That's not going to happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know. And, you know, because I go, oh, Sunny and Carly could sing Endless Love. And my best friend Maggie goes, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen because he does not want to get up.
It's so out of character for them, it wouldn't happen.
Well, yeah, and that would be, you know, but no, I love it how he always, you know, wipes a big suck for the nurse's ball. So
right.
I always tell people, no, people, it's Sunny Crew and those that keeping the nurse's ball in flow to everyone laughs. But as closing, well, I mean, besides acting and it's the summertime, did you want to go on any vacation when you might have a couple of weeks off?
I'm not going on vacation this summer. I'm going to take a couple of days here and there, and I'll save my vacation for Christmas and Thanksgiving. So this summer, other than a couple of long weekends and a day here or there, I'll be here at my desk. You know, people know where to find me.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, I must rather take Christmas and Thanksgiving off. Because, you know, it's, like, really, you know, long. And my closing question, and
okay.
do you miss us not, but do you miss General Hospital not being on SoapNet? Because in the age of, you know, breaking news, you know, for the fans that become the breaking news, people are not happy, Mark. People are really not happy. And so what is your take on that?
People are not happy about what? I'm confused.
Breaking news. Breaking news and then,
well,
you know
that's not a General Hospital decision. That's the ABC News. And honestly, the other networks break into shows when there's breaking news. And I know the soap fans are unhappy, but we have absolutely no control about that, Carly. That's out of our hands.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I always tell them, but I always tell them, and that's why I wanted to ask you, for it can come out of the host's mouth, and then, you know, people can, be better about that. And, yeah, I would love to have you on again, and I think, you know, I think you do such a great job.
Well, thank you so much.
And,
well, thank you. I certainly enjoyed it, Carly. It was long overdue, and I was, you know, happy you asked me, and I was happy to do it. I had a blast. Thank you for having me.
Well, yeah, and do you ever want to come back?
I'll let you know. Yeah, I mean, let's take some time off. I think the viewers got from me.
Yeah.
We'll, you know, down the road, we'll do it again. Okay?
Okay, cool. Have a great night. And
thank you. You too. I really
cool.
enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Carly.
Bye, Mark. Okay, everyone, that was Mark Kessler, casting director for General Hospital. I have a couple of announcements before we go. Yes, I'm hosting my own show tonight because everyone got busy, which is okay. Tomorrow in the morning, we are going to have a special guest at 10 a.m. That's all I'm telling you. Guys, and then Friday we have Tanya Walker on also at 8 o'clock on Friday morning, 8 o'clock West Coast time. So, yes, and thank you, Mark, again for coming. I loved interviewing, and I'm hoping that it will lead more to more people I can interview because I just... You know, I love the interviewing part of the job. I mean, and I just want to say, you know, I love it, and I will always love it, and I'm always here for your fans. And, you know, it's been a crazy couple of months, but I think the show fans, daytime fans, primetime fans need a voice, and that's why Daytime After Dark got here. So, yes, and please, if you have any questions, my email is daytimeafterdark1976. I'm on Twitter, daytime6976. and I'm on Facebook. So, you know, yeah, and thank everyone for listening, and I will see you tomorrow morning at 10 p.m. West Coast. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye, everyone. Before I go, and have a great night, and we will see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Thank you. Bye-bye. Have a great night, everyone. Carly signing off from Daytime After Dark tonight. Goodbye.